Right. We are continuing a teaching series on life's problems, challenges that we face in life, and what Jesus has to say about those problems. And tonight we're taking a look at the problem of getting enough rest. So, I'm going to sit down for a while. To begin, everybody just let out one great collective sigh of relaxation. Ready? Okay, mental note, next time we do that, pass out minty gum before the service. I am not good at getting enough rest, I think. It's just not something that I do really well. So me talking about it, you know, I'm basically sharing from a place of weakness, and those of you who know me know that that's true. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. But I try, I really do, and because I've had such problems with it, I think I at least have the unique perspective of someone who's had to think a lot about it. And so hopefully that will make some of the teaching profitable tonight. When I was thinking about this issue, I thought about an experience I had with an old boss. I was working for a company that was, it was a startup company, it was a tech company, and during after the tech bubble burst, you know, so it was a company in crisis, is what I'm trying to say. And we were all friends at the company. It was a small company, and my boss had great concern with the amount of time that I was working. He had great concern that I was overworking. And what he did is he forced me to track my hours. And so for actually some months, I would track the number of hours I was working. And, you know, sometimes I was working 80, 90 hours a week. And he had me track them so that I wouldn't get away with thinking that I was not overworking. But, you know, the company was in crisis, and I was always trying to invent new streams of income. I was in charge of business development for the company, and, you know, basically that was survival for us at that point and livelihood. You know, my boss and other coworkers were expressing concern that I was just working too long. Then my boss just basically said, look, you can't work more than 50 hours a week. And then the next week, he took 2 months off. What's the problem with that scenario? Right? It's because he had a value on rest, right? He had a value that I get enough rest. But his behavior actually added to my workload, right? Added to the burden of responsibility that I had to bear for the company. Well, I think God has a great value on rest. Right, and I think, you know, that's clear in the Bible. He has this thing called the Sabbath, right? We're supposed to take a day off every week. We're supposed to work rest into our lives. That's kind of an ironic way to say it, isn't it? To work rest into our lives. On the other hand, Jesus teaches that time is very short in life and that basically the company is in crisis. Right? Because people are dying every day. There are gross injustices in the world. There's great material depravity where you go. The earth is in crisis mode, right? And so it's like the state is always urgent. And those two things go together only with great difficulty, right? You know, on the one hand, God is saying, look, lives are at stake. Go, 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 go. And take it easy. Right? So it's a bit schizophrenic. It's hard for me to work out practically. Last week we talked about the problem of time. I did this on purpose. We talked about the fact that time is short in life. How many of you feel like you don't have enough time to do what you need to do? Right? Last week the response was 100%. Right? Nobody thought they had enough time to do the stuff that they had to do. And we took a look at how Jesus sees the situation, and Jesus, you will be comforted to know, agrees that you don't have enough time to do everything that you need to do. The difference is that he says, instead of working long hours at, your tech job, the case may be, that you should work long hours for kingdom purposes, that you should do the kingdom stuff first, but be under no illusion, there's actually a crisis out there. You know, so it's war time. So be under no illusion for that. He does say, though, that if you prioritize the kingdom stuff, one privilege is that you don't have to worry about yourself. So self-anxiety leaves. So He's saying, yeah, you're going to have to work like crazy, but you don't have to worry about yourself. God will take care of it, just like he takes care of the sparrows, who neither sow nor reap, but eat every day. You don't have to worry about what you wear. You know, think about the lilies of the field. And so that's his point. So it's kind of comforting and kind of disturbing all at the same time. Is God trying to have it both ways? Or am I trying to have it both ways when I say, look, it's a crisis. You all need to, you know, sacrifice your lives and work really hard for kingdom purposes, but make sure you get enough rest. Is that trying to have it both ways? Is that an unfair thing to say? You guys are getting really poor at answering my questions. It's because you suspect my motives, isn't it?
It's having it both ways and it's fair.
A man of faith. There's some kind of cheating going on. So what exactly does God intend? You know, what exactly does Jesus say about the situation? So a few observations for the night. You know this idea about the Sabbath for Christian followers? You know that the Lord God says, remember the Sabbath, that is the day of rest. Remember the day of rest and keep it holy. Then, you know, really set it aside. And that's actually one of the big Ten Commandments. That's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Take a day off every week. Take a Sabbath every week. It's one of the big Ten. Do you know that? One of the big Ten Commandments. So one might think that God is rather serious about rest. And I think he is. But in sort of mulling it over and thinking about how the Sabbath works into God's way of understanding the world, a few things occur to me. At first pass, maybe they seem a little unrelated. I'll try to relate them to one another by the end of the sermon. So, some observations about the Sabbath and what it makes me think of. Number one, there's something about the Sabbath commandment that makes me go, right? And here it is. Why would the God of the universe need to command you to take a day off? I mean, just, all right, so just think about how weird that is for a moment, okay? The Lord spent one of the big ten, right? I mean, there's lots of pieces of advice that he gives in Scripture, but, you know, the big ten are the big ten, you know, they're like the primary Ten Commandments of, like, the whole Old Testament, right? He spends one of the big ten saying, rest, take a day off. Do we need to be told to take it easy? Right? And that is so weird, right? Because you would think that only a workaholic would need to be told to take it easy. And we're not all workaholics. You know, some of us might be. But what does it say about the nature of the world that God has to command and make one of his primary commands to take a day off? What does that say about the nature of life?
Life's hard and we try to enjoy it.
Life's hard, right? So say more about that. Life's hard. I'm sorry? Life is busy, right? To make one of the big Ten Commandments, take a day off, it presumes that you'll always be running behind. It presumes that life is an urgent situation. And it presumes that it will be that way for all time. So just in making a command, take a day off, God is implying because you'll have too much to do and your time will be too short. Have you ever thought about that before? So on one hand, God commanding me to take a day off is like, whew, yeah, some vacation. On the other hand, it's like, but wait a minute, what does that say about my other 6 days, you know, or the rest of my life? So again, it's kind of comforting, kind of worrying all at the same time. So that's one observation. It's a fascinating comment on how God sees the nature of human life, that we'll always be running behind and that we'll always be in an urgent crisis. The Lord kind of accepts that off the top. Isn't that funny? Yeah, is there a question, Jay?
It's by far the longest commandment.
By far the longest, yeah. He spends a lot of text on it, on the Sabbath. He's really quite serious about it. All right, so we know, let me ask this. Like, from last week, we know that everybody is short on time, has too little time. If there was some national law that said, you have to take a day off, and you can't do any work on that day, right? You can't really exert yourself in any work-like way. If there were a national law that said that, and there were penalties attached, how many of you would find it hard to take the day off? All right, why? Why would you find it hard to take a day off? Under penalty of law, why would you still find it hard? I heard word. Why? I heard guilt, and I heard things to do, right? Because here's the truth. This is the nasty little truth. Taking a day off doesn't help you get done directly what you need to get done, does it? Right? Because you have too many things to do. And, you know, we're not idiots. We realize that if we have a lot to do and we take a full 24 hours, you know, and do nothing, those things don't just magically get done, right? And that's basically the situation, right? We could be fancy about it and we could say stuff like, yes, but if you're well rested, then you work with more efficiency the other days of the week and stuff. You know, we can say that. But, I mean, we don't really believe it, do we? Right? And the fact that we don't believe it is why taking a day off, even under penalty of law, would be very, very difficult for us. And also, you need flexibility for crises as they come up, right? So if there were a national law that says, you know, you cannot work on Sunday or something like that, but there's some crisis at work, you know, let's say, you know, you work at a hospital or something like that, or, I don't know, a church. You know, crises come up, right? So people who work at you know, care facilities, your day off is often ruined. So if there's a national law that says no go, well, that's tension creating is what that is. So that's an observation I have. Here's another observation as I have. See if you agree. I don't think we believe in rest. As a culture, I don't think we believe in rest. As a culture, I don't think we do. And I think few cultures believe in rest, if the historical record is any indication. Instead of rest, we've adopted other things to get us by. We've adopted comfort, and we've adopted distraction and stimulation. All these things kind of replace rest, right? So we don't take days off. We take days of recreation. You know, and by recreation, I mean fun. I mean, right? We go surfing. I expected some booze at that point. Yeah, watch it, buddy. Watch it. Don't trample on surfing. But we do things that aren't restful in the literal sense. You know, I mean, they might like rest the mind or something like that. I'm not saying that surfing is godless. That's next week's sermon. But I think as a culture, the statistics show that Americans are sleeping and resting far less than we ever have. Far less. And poor people in America are resting, are getting 5 hours of sleep a night. At the turn of the century, we as a culture used to get 10, at least. We've just completely turned our back on rest, but we are addicted to entertainment. Isn't that funny? So I think this is the behavior of a culture that no longer trusts rest. We know that we've got too much to do, and merely taking a day off is not going to help us get through the week. So instead, we've turned to distractional highs. We've turned to stimulation and stuff like that instead. So basically, we've chosen caffeine instead of sleep. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to convict anybody. I'm just observing. I'm just making observations. Okay, here's another observation about the Sabbath that I get from the Bible. Jesus gave at least 5 distinct teachings on the Sabbath commandment, on the Sabbath day, at least 5. You could count them different. You could count maybe up to 10, but at least 5 of them are distinct. Jesus addressed the rest day at least 5 times in the gospel teachings. In every one of those teachings, Jesus said it's okay to violate the Sabbath. Every one of Jesus' teachings on the Sabbath was, well, it's okay if you break the Sabbath customs and don't rest, technically, on the Sabbath day. If you're overworked, that doesn't necessarily make you feel comfortable, does it? Every one of them. And this kind of fits with, you know, Jesus' idea that time is short, that it's a crisis situation, and we have a lot of life-at-stake type work to do. That you should be doing it. You know, the most famous one is probably if your ox falls in a ditch on the Sabbath day, are you not going to try and get it out? Right? You know, crises happen. And, you know, don't be so religious about your rest that you can't help people in need. Sort of the bottom line of that one. But is he saying that we should reject the Sabbath idea in general? That just, you know, get over it. You know, it's one of the Big Ten. But, you know, get over it. Because, you know, there's too much work to do to worry about rest. Is that what he's saying? Probably not. But I think it's a bit challenging to figure out exactly what Jesus' attitude is on the Sabbath, given the gospel teachings. So tonight we have a piece of scripture that we've taken from the Gospel of Mark, which is a gospel that we recently went through together as a group. This is from Mark chapter 2, and I think this teaching nicely encapsulates Jesus' attitude about Sabbath and about rest in general. So I'll just read it. You can follow along either in your programs or up here on the big screen. One Sabbath, on one day of rest, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. So note to those of you who are new to the Bible and the customs, taking a journey, walking along, and picking grain were both violations of Sabbath customs, right? Because it was harvesting, and it was working, it was traveling, and this was sort of against the Sabbath rules of the day. So Jesus and his disciples, the story tells us, were actually violating the Sabbath. Right? They were exerting themselves on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees, the religious experts, said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? You're supposed to be like this spiritual leader. Why are you breaking the day of rest? You know, God spends one of the big Ten Commandments on it. What are you doing?" Jesus answers, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the day of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus is breaking the Sabbath, the religious people pointed out, and he tells a story about King David, who is like, you know, the big hero of the nation of Israel. And he tells a story that's a piece of history that's actually written in the biblical chronicles. And there was this day when David was in need. He was running for his life. He was an outlaw at one time. And he goes into the temple and he eats the consecrated bread, which was kind of like, sort of like communion bread. But there were very strict religious laws about who could eat it and who couldn't. And David, going into the temple, taking the bread and feeding himself and his bandits with it, was like a great law break. Biblical law said stuff like that is punishable by death. And yet David, the great hero of Israel, does this, and evidently God is okay with it. And so Jesus throws that back at them and said, "You accuse me, are you accusing David too? You're a great hero?" And one imagines the Pharisees going, "I don't know." Right, so it was sort of a conundrum he gave them. But then he goes on to make it a teaching point. And he says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And this is a verse that we've talked about at Nightlife before. I think it is probably the best statement Jesus ever makes, the most summary statement that he ever makes in terms of his attitude about those laws, the Ten Commandments and the rules that God gave his people in the Old Testament. What Jesus is saying here essentially is, look, God gave you all of those rules to help you live a good life. They're for your benefit. And what you think is that you have to follow the rules, otherwise God is going to get you. Right? God does not give us rules to make sure we stay in line. He doesn't give us rules in order that we might make ourselves acceptable to him. Right? So it's not a code of conduct in that sense. We are acceptable, that we're forgiven is what we are. And the assumption is that we're all forgiven. And Jesus says, follow the law, but don't do it to make yourself acceptable to God. Do it to stay out of trouble. Do it because it's good for you. You know, I want my kids to eat vegetables. I want them to do that, not so I'm not mad at them, but because that will make them healthy. It's the same idea. You know, certain rules that I give them about what to eat so that they're going to grow up to be healthy. This is the idea that Jesus is giving, and he says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. It's like, look, my judgment here today is that my boys need to travel and they need to eat, and they need to do that for their own good. So I'm not really breaking the spirit of the Sabbath. Because that, you know, that's how I see it. And God gives us that sort of flexibility, if you will, if you want to think of it like that. So it's a big teaching about how to see the laws that God gives. But I think it's also a teaching about the Sabbath. I think it's also a teaching about the way Jesus sees rest. I think it actually is a passage about rest and not just law. Here's why. No matter how many days you have off in the week, no matter how many days off you take, and no matter how little you do on those days, you won't truly get rest if you feel like it all rides on you. All right? No matter, you can take a day off, but it's not necessarily a day of rest. It's not necessarily a day of God's peace for you if you think that everything hinges on you. Everything rests on your shoulders. The Sabbath is not about taking a day off. The Sabbath is about getting rest. And those are two very different things, as Jesus sees it. So here's a summary of my idea about Jesus' teaching on rest. Life is so hard and time so packed that you will get worn out consistently in life. You're just gonna. You're gonna get really tired consistently in life. So you can't go messing up rest. Rest is too valuable for you to go about messing it up. You can mess up your rest with life anxieties about material things or relationships, or you can mess up your rest with religious worry, which is what the Pharisees were doing. Oh my gosh, if we don't do the Sabbath right, God is going to get us. And of course, that just makes your day of rest walking on pins and needles. It doesn't help you a lot. Jesus, far from saying that the day of rest is pointless, he's saying, I prioritize getting rest so much that I'm willing to violate the Sabbath to get rest. You know, which is a very Jesus way to think about things, for those of you who have been considering his teachings. The world says, look, life is so hard and time is so packed, you can never get enough rest, so don't even try. Right? Instead, just stimulate yourself so that you can keep going. You know, take up bungee jumping or, you know, spend a lot of time at Starbucks, whatever it is that you have to do. So what we do is we end up crowding out rest with stimulation or with work. You know, we just, you know, if I work through my vacation, then when I get back to my job, I'll be able to take it easier. Now, this is kind of logic that we work with. We can see that just getting a little rest isn't going to help us solve things. That's how the world plays it out. Rest is nice, but it doesn't help us get our work done. A day of rest, in that sense, taking a day off will not make your anxieties go away. Taking a day off will not rest you in any deep sense. But if your anxieties go away for some other reasons, then you'll be able to take a day of rest. But taking a day of rest won't make your anxieties go away, but if your anxieties go away for some other reason, then you'll be able to rest well. And I think that's sort of the implied message of Jesus' teaching. Do you understand that? Sort of a turn of phrase. Everybody with me so far?
Yeah.
Sort of, kind of, suspiciously. In this sense, I think Jesus is delivering to us a Sabbath that we can live with, because he's saying that, one, we don't need to worry about, you know, material provision and stuff like that. He frees us from those anxieties. And he also frees us from the anxiety of a picky God. He says, yeah, you need to follow the Ten Commandments exactly, particularly this one on the Sabbath, and exhaust yourself to do it if you need to, but take that Sabbath. He frees us from that sort of thinking. But there's still this problem that I have in life, which is that there's just too much work to do. Right? I'm, you know, fortunate, I'm blessed. My job, my paying job, is to do kingdom work. You know, so I have incentive to prioritize, you know, the stuff of the kingdom. But there's a lot of it to do. There's a lot, and it's very difficult to take a full day off. There are endless urgencies, endless numbers of oxen in ditches, right, in my life. Plus, and I'm going to get a big amen from this, plus I have 2 children, ages 3 and 1.
Amen.
All right? So my day off is not a day off.
It's my day off.
That's right. My wife goes somewhere and I take care of the kids, which is, you know, wonderful. But, you know, come 9 p.m., I am tired, right? And then I have to get up, you know, the next day and go to work and do it all over again. And, you know, and I grew up in a farming community, you know, and farmers, during a certain season of the year, they work 16 hours a day. And they don't take any day off, because if they do, the harvest will go bad or animals will die. You know, there's endless urgency. And pastoring is a lot like that. You know, if your flock is big, there's always a lot of stuff to do. And I'm not the only pastor in this room. A lot of you are involved with pastoring, right? A lot of you are taking care of people. A lot of you have just sold out your life to do kingdom work. Some of you are going to Bangladesh and spending great chunks of your life there. Some of you are leading small groups. Some of you are just really investing in your small groups. Some of you show up early and spend 2 hours a day setting up this stage and all the sound stuff that goes to it. On Sunday, which is a day that a lot of Christians take off, you know, you're exhausting yourself. You guys are working very, very hard, and I know that. Makes it that much more important to be able to rest well when you get the opportunity. Here's a saying I have. Tell me if this is helpful to you. And it's about stamina, right? The ability to keep going. And my saying is this. Stamina is not defined by the rate of exertion with which you work. Stamina is defined by the rate of exertion at which you can rest. Okay, so stamina is not defined by the rate of exertion at which you can work, the intensity with which you can work. That does not define whether or not you have stamina. The issue that defines whether or not you have stamina is, can you rest even if you're working hard? I think that's the issue. Go back to the question about what would make it hard for you to take a day off. You can't always guarantee that you're going to be able to take a full day off in life, you know, because you have kids or because you have urgencies or stuff like that. But if you do get the opportunity to take some time off or to rest, are you going to be able to rest well or not? Are you going to be able to rest well even though you've got 20 things waiting for you on your desk at work? Right? Even though life is just nothing but endless work for you, are you going to be able to rest when you get the free moment? Or are anxieties going to crowd in? That's the issue. And I think the only way you're going to be able to rest with all the stuff that life throws at you is if you believe God has your back. If you believe that God is actually a loving Father, if you believe that it's His job to provide for you and your job to provide for the people around you. Unless you believe that, your days off will simply be days off and not days of rest. And that's the freedom that Jesus inserts into our busy life. We all have busy lives. We all find it difficult to take a full day off. But only people who trust God to provide, and only people that understand that He's a loving dad, will be able to rest. I think that's the Jesus teaching on the Sabbath. There's a lot of literature out there about setting up high boundaries in your life, so that you don't get overwhelmed, right? Have you read all those books on high boundaries? You know, have high interpersonal boundaries so that people with problems do not overwhelm you. Have boundaries on your time. You have to set aside time for you, right? Jesus actually doesn't teach that, right? I mean, interpersonal boundaries. Here's a guy that came to earth in order to be tortured to death. His boundaries sucked. You know? And here's a guy who taught on the Sabbath, and what he said about the Sabbath was, you know, be willing to let it go in order to do good for someone who needs it. Right? Time for you? No. He's a guy that said, die to yourself. Right? So his teaching was different. It wasn't about self-protection. It wasn't about protecting yourself. But it was about resting yourself. Resting yourself in God. There's a difference between protecting yourself and resting yourself. And Jesus encouraged the latter. He's given you the ability to rest yourself in the midst of. And you can fill in the rest of that sentence however you want to. And that's really, I think, the call of Christ. Should you take a day off, you know, once a week? Sure, absolutely you should. You should come to my house and babysit. That's what you should do because it's really, really refreshing. Absolutely. But more than that, more than taking a day off, you should learn to relax. You should learn to relax. And the picture I have in my mind is a picture of a great runner. You ever seen runners that can they run 4 minute and 30 second miles and just look like they're out for a stroll? Right? They have stamina. They have ability to rest even at great speed. And that's what we humans, I think, need to develop. And that's what Jesus is saying. But by all means, take a day off. Just make it count, okay? And you're not going to make it count by protecting it. You're going to make it account by filling it with trust and rest and faith. You understand? Is that clear? Amen. That's the best way I could say it. All right, amen. Let's pray about that, and the band's going to come back up. We pray, Lord, that you'd make us a Sabbath people, not just a day off people, but a Sabbath people. We pray, Lord, that even though we are working hard to do this stuff, we've all got pressure-packed gigs. I pray, Lord, that we would be people that just exude rest nonetheless. I pray, Lord, that your presence would refresh us, that trust would refresh us. I pray, Lord, that when we have 10 minutes free, it would be 10 free minutes. Minutes of freedom and ascension and peace. I pray, Lord, that you would make us anxiety free. I pray that you would make us people of assured provision, knowing that God has our back. I pray that you would make us strange people in this busy world, people who work at least as hard, but are more rested than anyone around us. And that's a miracle that maybe we can't get our brains around, but I pray that you would do it, Lord. I pray that you would do it. Make us into something that's astounding, offensive to a pressure-packed world. We trust you the best we can, Father. And fill in the gaps, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.